pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. A little technical difficulties there as we work through whatever it is that is plaguing the connection here. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is on your mind. Still to come about a half hour from now. Stay tuned for that. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that might be on your mind. We need to get through some of these texts real quick and then we'll kind of recap the news here very shortly. We don't have any text here. We'll just talk about Austin Sidwell. So something I was on my radar. Talk about it, and I know y'all are tired of the sports ball talk. Am I keeping up with this, the WNBA? The WNBA and really the Sophie Cunningham, the flagrant two foul. Kind of an interesting thing going on. It's in this news cycle. Looked like just kind of watching, it looked like a clothesline situation. And this league, who's tuning into the WNBA for any reason? And generally it's what, Caitlin Clark? And now, as of late, Sophie Cunningham. I mean, how many other? I know a few players. I don't watch, generally speaking, unless I'm kind of flipping through. Or ESPN is left on one of the TVs. Sometimes it is. But this is what draws eyeballs. And these are their the better known talent, and they're being, I guess, victims of the political culture of that league. Very, very strange to me. But as I said, it's gotten a lot of news, and you know, I know that as with anything, politics is going to enter the mix. Cunningham has been very outspoken about women and women's athletics and not allowing men in women's athletics. I think that's gotten, you know what it is to me, and kind of watching it, I don't think it is. I mean, some of it's political and some of it's just, you know, these two figures and women's basketball represent something we disagree with. It's just that they're getting attention. They have become players with notoriety. That they're not really... Clark is obviously the better of the two, but why are they getting the spotlight? Why aren't I? I'm going to show this. I'm going to show this Barbie doll. They're going to get to see, they're going to get a taste of this, of rough and tumble women's basketball. So we kind of like the professional wrestling aspects of a lot of athletics, I think. And this is just going to draw more interest to it. In my opinion. But we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, Like I said, it's not really my field of expertise. And I watch a lot of sports. And listen, I know, like, stick to the issues, guys, but you got to, like, take a break from a lot of this. Sometimes. But the women's basketball, it's a big story. My Breitbart guys are very interested in this. And it's funny to watch the sports journalists kind of line up on the wrong side of this. And like I said, that's the politics of it. But I think there's some just jealousy. Why is these players aren't that great? We're the ones who built this league. Why are they getting all the attention? And I must have watched the foul. And then I guess the triggering comment came after. The Johnny Carrington in her press conference after the game claimed that she was given the flagrant foul because of white privilege. But they walked through it during the broadcast like 100 times and said it was a flagrant 2. Disqualifying. So what they do in basketball, there's certain levels of a flagrant foul. And if it rises to the occasion, then you'll get ejected from the game as a part of it. So there's your WNBA update on the Jeff Poor Show. 251-343-01. 06. Hey, Jet, did you go to the governor's party Saturday in Fairhope? Was that fundraiser? No, I didn't. I don't get invited to those. I've never been to a BCA event at the Grand, and I live 6-7 minutes away. I've been to the Grand a bunch. But they tend to invite the friendly media outlets, including our good friend Todd Stacy, but our friends at Yellowhammer, I'm sure, had coverage of it. I have no sense of what they talked about. And I tried to get Todd to talk about this, and we know how that went last week. But I really like, sometimes the BCA will get on board on a policy issue, and they will talk about it as like, well, I wonder, you know, like here we are, new governor, a new administration coming in, a different legislature. Will they make a run at something else? Will they take a shot? Will they, you know, like the gas tax? The BCA was big on that. And a few years back, there was another one of these economic incentive projects. There's always, like, some kind of public policy issue. And, you know, usually takes a couple of days to hear about that, for the details to trickle out my way. But no, I did not get the Tommy Tuberville, I guess, governor, or is it Ivy you're referring to, a name texter. Toothless Bamber, what did you think of Cooperstown in the lake? Been twice. Always feels like you stepped into a time warp, and Pete Rose is quote-unquote in Cooperstown. Yeah, there's a lot of Pete Rose there. I think Pete Rose probably should be in the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of cool memorabilia. I talked about this last week, the Mobile Connection, that Hank Aaron's, there's like 6 or 7 bricks from Hank Aaron's childhood home on display there. There's a lot of Hank Aaron in Cooperstown. He is definitely featured prominently. And it's kind of hard to explain to a 5-year-old why this is important, why all these plaques of these. And so the weekend before we went, or actually, I think we were there like on a Thursday, but the weekend before was the induction. Andrew Jones. Jeff Kent. And some of the plaques, I think the Andrew Jones plaque was going to be featured at Truist Park that night. But there was still, what I've found about it, Cooperstown, sorry to prolong this, Toothless, but there's a, they host a lot of tournaments there. There's a lot of little league tournaments and youth baseball. They have a couple of parks there, I think, where they play. But it really is like a, I would describe it as like kind of the Gatlinburg of baseball, the half dozen card shops, a bunch of shirts and t-shirt places. We spent some time there. It was good to go, and it was a good break. We had done all these baseball games, and we were on our way. It was an overnight between Pittsburgh and Toronto, and we went up to upstate New York. I got a funny story. And we spent the night in Syracuse, New York, at a one of the Hilton chain hotels. Front desk clerk's there eating some barbecue, and he's very excited about his food truck barbecue. And I was kind of like, wow, barbecue in Syracuse, New York. You had to tell me a little bit more about it. Oh, man, it's fire. I believe that's what he used to describe it, the adjective. It's like, Syracuse has barbecue. He's like, oh, yeah, and I know barbecue. I'm from Detroit. I just kind of laughed. But he was very excited. We did not partake in the culinary offerings of Syracuse, New York, but apparently they have a thriving barbecue food truck scene there in upstate New York. Toothless Bama goes on to write, average salary for WNBA players jumped a tenfold after Caitlin Clark, over $400,000 summer making. Don't know why the other players have gotten so much hate for the Golden Goose. Was, you ever heard all the talk about like Tiger Woods and golf and what a good thing for golf this is? Why isn't this the same thing? You should compete against her, try to defeat her on the court. But you're playing against the best women's basketball players. They're showing it again on Fox News. They're showing this on a just kind of on a loop throughout the day. I think the Carrington, who they called the foul on, claiming it was white privilege, is really was a trigger point. I think they're protesting, actually. They're showing protests going on in front of the United Center in Chicago. The texture. Jeff, I have anyone on 106 talking about the Cosmic event happening Wednesday. Also, welcome back. We miss you. What Cosmic event? I would talk about it if I knew anything about it. The heavens and things that go on in astronomy are not my forte, but happy to at least offer an uneducated comment on them. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.
This WKRG News 5 update is brought to you by Mike Ward's Liberty Safes. You can buy a safe anywhere, but you can't get this kind of service anywhere. Buy from the folks you trust. Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, 471-1137.
Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Dale Jackson coming up in the next segment, so stick around for that. Scroverine. The nutty politicizing liberals create a focus on those white players. Ironically, the virtue signaling white savior liberals think they need to be a voice for the voiceless are complaining about white players getting attention and to a sport they didn't follow. Yeah, but like if you just kind of isolate it down to the WNBA itself, yes, the politics. And everybody's got egos, you know, and that's although we tend to kind of mock the WNBA or whatever it may be, it doesn't. Well, you know, obviously it's generating interest, but the interest, a lot of these players think, well, I'm the one who's, you know, toiled in the fields. I'm the better player here. Why is this player getting all the attention? The sports media have been just vicious against Sophie Cunningham, who I don't know where that came from. She spoke out on transgender athletes and female sports. But the sports publications, they have aligned with Carrington here. That this is karma. She had it coming. Politics has gotten into it. With the Florida AG is looking into this. But it was pretty clear in any basketball, boys, girls, men, women, whatever, that foul was overboard. And the punishment, the ejection, was what would have happened in any other circumstance. I don't know why the virtue signaling sports media has gotten involved, but it has. But yeah, I tell you this about the sports media. Once upon a time, I wanted to be a sports journalist, but they want to do more than just reports. They want the story behind the story. There's more to their profession than just scores and box scores and batting averages and free throw percentages and completions. They're very smart people. They want to give you the story behind the story, a human interest story. And they always just, it's always so shameless and just, you know, like phony. If you wanted to do those kinds of stories, then why didn't you do that in your career? Everybody likes the idea of being a sports reporter, a sports journalist, until they do it. And then by, you know, halfway through the season, they're bored with it or whatever. Leo writes, cosmic event equals just a meteor shower. Okay. Make a wish on a shooting star. Mike says, I find it hilarious that two former NBA players have declared for the WNBA draft. Well, this just puts the WNBA in a tough spot, right? They have a very, very select group, a constituency, if you will, that believes in these things that they pay lip service to, that they come off as very virtue signaling, very high and mighty. But when it comes to the practical applications, it's no longer just the high school in some faraway place. We'll see if this sticks. Make a declaration. Let's see your cards here. Show us what you got. Show us that you're, you know, you mean what you say. Oh, as long as it's not us. Because we're going to have a WNBA, you've got to have a W. And if you got to have a W, then that needs to be clearly defined. If we're just going to have a very vague definition of W, women's, then you're making your own bed. You're going to have to lie in it. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
And on the old town square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair.
Has anybody seen much of Gary these days? Has anybody seen much of Gary these days?
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. 0106 if you want to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text me. Joining us now on the line, we do this every Monday when I'm around, Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville. Dale, good morning. How are you?
I'm not as good as you. Taking 2 weeks off at the time. I guess some people got it like that. And wow, I'm very, very nice.
As opposed to the whole month of December, huh?
Things have changed. Things have changed. That's for sure. But yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. Glad to see you back. The state's been missing you. There's been a bunch of stuff going on. I haven't been covering it. What's going on there?
I don't know. What have I missed?
Oh, man, there's more data center talk. There's Democrat infighting. Well, Tommy Tuberville is saying kind of insane things. Yeah. It's great.
Okay.
So basically same place where you left.
Well, they got a new chairman of the Alabama Democratic Party.
I'm sure this is going to be the way they turn it around.
He is very effective at slowing things down in the Alabama State Senate. So I don't know. Maybe that applies to electoral politics as well. I don't know what it
could
do.
How is Chris England's run at this gig? I mean, how was he at that? Yeah, well, he was a legislator doing it. The Republicans are being run by a legislator as well now. Does that change anything for you?
I think the Republican Party is in a much different place that, you know, and that it can run probably, you know, whoever's in charge. I think the Democratic Party, the problem there is just too split, that the Joe Reed faction, and it's still there. And this is what I learned from last time with Chris England, when he did it, he never won their trust. It seemed like you talk to Democrats, longtime Democrats who stuck with it when, you know, all the white Democrats left to go be Republicans. And they were like, well, Doug Jones tried to come in and stage a hostile takeover of our party without asking us. We don't like this. This seems wrong. And he never could get it going. And that's why he ultimately stepped aside for Andy Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting to see that they are out here trying to figure out a way to get to a point where they matter. And I don't know if this does it.
No, but it'll be interesting. I don't have any really optimistic outlook for the Alabama Democratic Party. But as far as we go as spectators, I can't wait till the Joe Reed, Bobby Singleton feud takes a very public turn. I mean, this is the kind of thing you pop popcorn for.
What's their relationship like now? The head of the guy who actually runs the party versus the now the guy who's going to be the face of it.
I mean, I think they sort of coexisted, but when you step into this arena and you defeat the handpicked guy of Joe Reed, then I think it is going to be, there's going to be some friction there. I don't know what. You know, a lot of it is, just raising money, and Ward knows what they do with it. Go ask Tabitha Eisner. But it's been kind of a racket in recent years for Joe Reed.
Yeah, excuse my ignorance, but let me just ask this. Has Eisner been effective?
She's been interesting. I don't think so. I mean, she's got a small following. She's never been able to really amass any kind of substantial influence. So, you know, she's one of these, the left has the same phenomenon we have on the right, that Facebook and Twitter aren't real life. And that's what she is.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And, you know, she's been able to mix it up. Well, you were gone. She came on my radio show.
I heard about that. How'd that go?
It was nice. A nice conversation. She basically was like, I'm burning it down from the inside. And then we're going to burn you down. That's basically, that's how I took it.
I'm glad you two are pen pals now.
No, we're best buds. We're best buds. I offered her a regular slot on my show. She didn't respond.
Oh, well, those always go wrong, don't they?
They do. They do.
How's Dr. Burke these days?
I don't know. He don't talk to me much. He was old doctor of political science. You know, hey, George Wallace wasn't really that bad. He didn't mean what he was saying. That type of.
I need to look him up. I need to get to him through our mutual friend Parker Griffith. I think.
I mean, I can give you his number.
I got it. I mean, we became buddies when I was up there when you made the mistake of hiring me.
That's true. It's very true. Very true. All right. So what else? I want to talk about your trip. How'd it go? You're playing dad all over the country. Is that the gist?
Upper Midwest. So we're going to get to all 30 major league ballparks. We got about 20 of them out of the way. And then the 2-year-old will get to come along. He'll be 3 when we go next year. But we really got really just the Northeast, so Mid-Atlantic, you know, all the way from D.C. to Boston, and then the West Coast, and then the two Floridas.
Are you taking both these kids by yourself?
I did it. I've done it, like, at Auburn and Braves games, so, yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. You are a way better dad than I am.
That's well, they, I mean, like, one rides on my shoulders, the other just holds my hand. So, but, like, I tell you what is, like, fascinating, and it's not true in every stadium, but a couple of these, so... My 5-year-old's been very good at getting baseballs, if you follow me on Facebook. He could charm the ball boy or whoever, you know, a player or whatever. Well, so Cleveland and Atlanta, there's these kids, I guess their parents are like season ticket holders. They know all the tricks. They know how to go talk to the guys in the bullpen. They know how to talk to the right usher or whatever. To get these souvenir baseballs, and that has been kind of the perfected theme of the trip.
So he walked away with a lot.
He walked away with a bunch of batting practice balls, and also it's like this: like we'll sit in the section where a lot of balls will come our way, and an adult will catch them. And sort of the way baseball works is you give it to the smallest kid in the stands, and it's always him.
That's funny.
So, like, and then, you know, they'll be like, and what they do between innings in the outfield is the outfielders play catch just to stay loose, and then they throw the baseball up in the stands.
Right, right, right.
And so, like, we kind of figured that out. We really figured it out in Colorado earlier this year. But once we figured that out, and then he just learns their names and calls, and they come and just either bring him a ball or throw it to him or whatever.
That is funny. What a good dad. What a good dad. Okay, very cool.
But the one cool ball we got was actually a game ball, and it was in Atlanta, of all places. Drake Baldwin, he hit a single for 2 RBIs, and they brought him the ball. The ball boy did, or bat boy did.
That's funny.
So, I mean, yeah, but it was, we went to Cooperstown. That was cool. We had 2 games at Wrigley. So, 11 games at 10 stadiums, and 2 of them were at Wrigley.
Wrigley's a great stadium.
Aren't you a Cubs guy? We did behind home plate. Then we did the god-awful outfield bleachers for the second game.
That's a rough place to have a little one.
Not really. That's what they say, but, like, we've done
Talladega. They're on their best behavior if they see him.
Like Talladega, and you know, it's like St. Patrick's Day drunks. Like, oh wow, I remember when I first started drinking too. I thought I was really cool.
Yeah,
and that's you know whatever. It was fine. 2 weeks, and we'll do it again next year. Wow. If there's a season, and there's probably not going to be a season. Are you aware of this?
Oh yeah, yeah. I saw the strike thing coming. That I'm telling you. It took them a long time to recover from that. That's a terrible idea.
I think it'll be like a lockout. The owners will lock out the players. They want a salary cap. So,
and the players want a salary floor. Right? So they're trying to figure that one out too.
Yeah, because you'll have these disparities where the Dodgers have a payroll 5 times the size of the Marlins or whatever.
Yep.
And then, you know, is that, I don't know. It's sort of capitalism, but. Is that the best thing for your business model? Probably not.
No, I mean, but man, I'll tell you, I mean, you remember this as well as I do. When they shut down the season, the only thing that saved baseball, though, that's
actually Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa.
That's right. Yep. That's exactly right. Steroids. The steroids saved baseball.
I like the steroid era.
I did too. It's great.
I mean, it's not great for their bodies. And it's
I don't care about them.
Exactly. I mean, they know what they're getting into, right?
Yeah.
So the players aren't as durable. They get hurt all the time.
That's correct.
I'm kind of over it. Are we really still in data centers? I mean, is that, cause I have this theory that data centers are breathing a sigh of relief right now, and they're glad that flock cameras have shown up.
Yeah, but these are both two issues that I'm guessing your audience is very excited about, and I could literally care less about either of them. I could literally care less about the data. I say that that's incorrect, but let me just put it this way. Tommy Tuberville is 100% right on data centers. He is exactly correct. And Doug Jones is basically making the data center argument that is like, oh, what did Tuberville say? Okay, I believe the opposite. That is Doug Jones's entire argument. And that's the only campaign he has at this point.
Well, that matters. So, he's going to lose.
No, I know. I'm merely explaining like this idea that Doug Jones is like some friend of the farmer or something. It's just such a stupid fake thing.
Well, it was but did you see the poll that came out showing like a 9-point spread there?
Yeah.
Are you buying that?
No.
Me neither.
I'm not buying it at all. I mean, could something crazy happen? Sure, maybe. But I mean, let's just remember 4 years ago, Tommy Tuberville, or what was it 6 years ago? Tuberville got a big win, and he's become more loved among Alabamians, not less. I mean, this is ridiculous.
It is. And the poll, I mean, it wasn't like it was like a pro school choice entity. So I don't know how their sample and all of that. It has to be off. Alabama's an awful place to try to pull. But he's going to beat him by 20 points.
Yes, that is exactly correct. It is going to be a beatdown. I don't know if it's going to be 20, but it's going to be more than 10.
It'll be 60-40. So. I mean, that's, somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe 15, 20 points. But the difference is...
The national mood matters, though.
It does, but the problem is, you got a bunch of things on the ballot. This isn't a low turnout primary. This isn't 2017, a special election in the middle of December with nothing on the ballot. You will have the Fox News hoopla over the midterms, and there will be arguably a much higher turnout for Republicans on November 3rd than anything we've seen since the presidential election.
Okay. All right. I don't disagree with it. Okay. Great. But the Iran situation is going to have a negative impact on Republicans if it stays in the state that it's in right now. And that's a concern. I don't know if it's not a 20-point swing concern. It's a congressional race concern more so than anything else.
Yeah, it's a bad night nationally. In Alabama, Doug Jones and Tommy Tuberville doesn't matter.
Yep.
The gubernatorial race is going to be Tommy Tuberville. And then, no matter what they try to pull. But I do worry about the midterms nationally. Democrats gain control of a chamber or two. It's over. I mean, especially they get the House, it's endless impeachment. And it's just you guys out there who are like very hawkish on Iran and what he's doing and thinking that this is a positive, which is fine. That all is going to end if Democrats are able to slow down the funding mechanisms.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, that's exactly right. And I think Democrats are kind of in bad shape right this moment. But it's all just, I think, going to be if it's about Trump. Republicans are in big trouble. And you could talk about Francesca Hogg and freaking Abdul al-Sayed or whatever.
Yeah,
until you're blue in the face and Democrat socialists and whatever. If it's about Trump, there's a big, big problem here. And if the Iran situation is still ongoing, it's going to be all about Trump.
But I suppose the DSA stuff is, kind of helpful for Republicans. Certainly Fox News and Newsmax and other kind of, these right of center outlets are playing it up, but that's also cable news isn't real life. It's gas prices.
Yes, exactly. Correct. Gas prices are on same thing. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. But look, the Red Scare works. Okay. Let's just be real about it. The Red Scare works. Especially if they're believably commies, I mean, that's...
Or just, openly, without a hesitation.
Right. And you're saying basically this. You've got all these things that pile up against you. and Democrats have a lot of negatives, and they're doing all of them, all the stuff that they do. Though, we're not really socialists. We're not this. We're not that. Well, okay, yes, you are actually. Like you literally are all these things, and some of you are even admitting it now. So
yeah, it's a weird sort of populism, but I think that the Democratic Party, at least the rank and file, maybe not the very top, or maybe not the old establishment, they go along with a lot of this.
Yeah, well, they're afraid. They're afraid of their base. They're afraid of the Hassan Pikers of the world.
I mean, they're yeah, I know, but they ride or die with this, and what really it's their own fault. They play this stuff up. They make this a thing, and then they don't really mean it. Sure, Nancy Pelosi, is she like whacked out, you know, social issue liberal? Sure. Is she really down with the socialist vibe here? Probably not.
No, Democrats don't believe a thing they say.
They may pay lip service to it, but paying lip service to it the last 20 years has actually created this movement we're watching.
Correct.
So they made their own bed. They built up these expectations. They talk about, you know, socialized health care. Well, if it works so good for health care, let's just do it with everything else. That's just not a winnable strategy nationally.
Right. Hey, well, and their whole thing is we just need to go harder. I mean, we didn't go hard enough. Real socialists have tried. They never really went far enough. And that's...
Or they didn't do it right, is what you'll hear.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly correct.
Yeah. And so it's... And, you know, it's just sort of this Bernie Sandersism or whatever you want to call it. But I think that wins at the Democratic Party. I think it loses in a general election.
Well, that we're going to learn. We're going to learn because they're going to have to eat this. I mean, that's the whole thing. This is going to be they're going to have to eat that this time. And like you said, and like we both said, it's not like, gee, is this what's happening? It's them saying, this is who we are.
Yes.
Like they're straight up acknowledging it.
And they go on mainstream media shows and they readily acknowledge it, you know? They it's like, well, we think this is pro-democracy and this is really like the hallmark of American politics, and newsflash, probably not.
Yeah, correct. I agree with that. I agree.
Dale, folks want to find you online. They want to check you out. They want to argue with you. How could they do so?
Well, it's very simple. All they have to do is find me at the Dale Jackson on social media, at WVNN on the radio in North Alabama, and at yellowhammernews.com.
Dale Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. It's like I forget. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5, 251-343-0106. Coming up here in about 45 minutes, Austin Sidwell. He's a candidate in the 1st Congressional District. We'll hear from him in, like I said, 45 minutes. So please stay tuned for that. Scrovarine, Republicans don't vote. What do they think their lack of participation or voting for Democrats will help when it comes to gas prices or anything? It's not, I mean, it's just, they're not thinking about that. Really, people, they want to be inspired to vote for something or against something. There has to be, Scrovarine, there has to be like an emotional buy-in here. It's like sports. There has to be like something that is going to motivate you to care enough to even be aware of the election on top of actually going out to vote. I think we got election fatigue. Sometimes I wonder if that's intentional. But Republicans, they think they did their duty. They voted for Trump. Maybe they voted in the primary. They think that they have checked their box. They have their civic duty handled. And that's sort of where that ends. And I just think it's a mindset problem. And how do you change that? I don't know. It's a culture problem probably more than it is just an attitudinal problem. But we can get more into that later. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Nobody looking back again.